This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:49 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril, and we're just back to take a look at the press conference that just happened from Health Minister Dato' Sri Dr. Adam Baba, basically just giving an update on the COVID-19 issue. Right now, we have a total of 553 cases, with 42 already discharged. The positive cases is mainly in these four states, in Selangor, Wilayah Persekutuan, Sabah and Johor. So we're now going to cross over to Professor Dr. Sanjay Rampal, an epidemiologist at University of Malaya. Dr. Sanjay, thank you so much for joining us on our show.
Hi, thank you.
Right, and so during the PC, the health minister essentially gave the latest update in terms of numbers. Our tally for positive cases is 553. This might seem like an alarming number. Could you help break it down for us?
So basically, when we think about infectious diseases and people getting sick, we typically think of them as being isolated cases, but actually what happens is that there is actually a geometric progression, an exponential progression. So what happens is there is a case. Mm-hmm. The case, on average, will infect about anywhere between 1 to 3 to 4 cases. Where in COVID, the number is closer to about 2.5 at the moment. So let's take 2, for example. So one case infects 2, right? And the next cycle, the 2 infects 4, and the 4 will infect 8. So if you notice that the rise is not linear, it's not a straight line, rather it's exponential. So what we can actually look forward to is increasing number of cases as we move along. Now, there's also been different sorts of cases compared with the past. So when the outbreak first started, we saw imported cases. That means these cases came from overseas, mm-hmm. and they were detected, and we used to contain them. However, now what we're seeing is we're seeing more and more Malaysians getting sick. So I think the numbers will continue to increase, and they may appear alarming.
Right. The health minister mentioned late containment stage a few times throughout his speech. What does this mean?
So basically what this means is we talk about flattening the curve, right? So if you look at the population will get sick from this virus, if you think about it, because we have a lot of people who are not immune, right? A lot of us are susceptible to this virus. Mm-hmm. What kind of measures we're trying to come up with now, for example, social distancing, is to delay the numbers getting sick. So put it this way, rather than 10,000 people getting sick within a week, we could aim for 10,000 getting sick in 6 months, for example, mm-hmm. though the numbers are all hypothetical. What this does is, when you delay the rate of infection, the force of infection, the total numbers don't change so much. What changes is the numbers you see at any one point of time. And this is actually very important, because we have a healthcare system, right, which can entertain or which has a certain capacity, right? And the ministry has been prepared, and they have looked at the numbers, and what they aim to do is they aim to keep the number of cases, active cases, below that certain number. Now, one important point is, of 100 cases that get COVID, not all need hospitalization. Mm-hmm. So based on the prevailing data, maybe only 15% of these numbers would actually need hospitalization. Now, for the initial stage, for the initial containment stage, that means in the past 1-2 weeks, past few weeks, we may have been more cautious than needed to be, and we might have been hospitalizing all COVID cases. But as we move along, we would have to triage the cases and prioritize those who are moderate or severe.
And if you could help break it down to the simplest terms, what does social distancing entail? That was something as an advice that was brought up. Can you still see your friends one-on-one or be around your parents, for instance?
So social distancing in the simplest form means increasing the physical distance between people, because the infection spreads from person to person, right? So the idea here is to increase the distance. Now, the measure or the type of social distancing we employ depends on the level of transmission. I mean, if there's few cases happening, and mind you, I think there's still the level of transmission is still low, right? Though we think it's high, but when the level of transmission is low, we can use certain measures. Whereas if the level of transmission is high, when we suddenly get, let's say, 10,000 or whatever jumps in magnitude, right, then we would have to employ more strict social distancing. One point about social distancing is social distancing actually puts the onus or the responsibility to the public. Mm-hmm. So the public actually feel more empowered that they can affect the progression of disease. Now, if you ask me, the distance, the accepted distance is between 1 to 3 meters between people. Now, this has an effect. For example, if you were to go to a restaurant now and you were to employ a 1 to 3 meter distance, 1 to 2 meters distance, that would mean there will be less people at any one time. But it's all for the better.
When asked about whether we have enough medical professionals, the minister said that having enough epidemiologists is crucial. Do we have enough across each of our states?
So the issue again depends on the need, right? What is the number that we need? So I wouldn't be able to comment on the minister's speech directly. Mm. But I would assume that the ministry is prepared. The one issue that may crop up is geographical variation, whereby we may have more staff in certain states compared with other states. But other than that, it would be difficult for me to comment.
Okay. Then could we perhaps get a clearer understanding on the kinds of facilities required to deal with the influx of people living with COVID-19?
So if you think about COVID-19, now those who are mild, it depends on the number of cases we have, right? So let's look at the moderates and severes, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say if you assume you had 100, or you're talking about 1,000, let's say we had 1,000 active COVID cases, right? Of this 1,000, you expect about 850 not to have, to be able to be seen in the doctor, given some treatment, given some advice, actually, and sent home, right? They'll be cared for at home. Now, with regards to the other 150, based on the prevailing data that we have from the international sources, we can assume about 120 of those, that means about 12%, will be moderate. That means they may have some breathing difficulty. Some, let's say their fever is very high or they have some respiratory problems, that they would need some hospitalization. Now, the severe cases, I think, are the one that you maybe have been alluding to, that maybe needing ventilatory respiratory support, right? Like ventilation, so on and so forth. Now, that I'm sure the ministry have planned for it, but at the same time, it depends on the number of cases we see. So I was saying if we have 1,000 active cases, we only expect about 20 of those to need care. And we do have, I think, enough beds in various ministries of health to various centers and ministries of health to handle that.
Yeah.
So it's not just so much as providing care, but providing appropriate care, right? So when resources get sparse, we have to talk about appropriateness or appropriate utilization of healthcare services.
Right. So what might be standing in the way of people who are associated with clusters of the COVID-19 outbreak from coming forward?
So one, if you're talking about why they wouldn't come forward, maybe one thing would be stigma, right? Stigma is a big issue, right? And it's not because of what the most of the public feel about them. It's just like what they hear, what they feel from. There's also self-stigmatization, so that the stigmatization can be internal or external. There might be some amount of self-stigmatization. There might be some stigma felt from external forces. Other than this, with this specific cluster, so with different clusters, there are different factors. Hmm.
Professor Dr. Sanjay, thank you so much again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Professor Dr. Sanjay Rampal, epidemiologist at University of Malaya. After the 6 p.m. news, we will be looking at the economic stimulus, update on the economic stimulus package together with Lawrence Tart of IDEA. So stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.